In the 1972 Vietnam era, did you see the PBS special? In the 1972 Vietnam era Broadway hit musical titled Pippin, the best song was Gotta Find My Corner of the Sky. Pippin came to the Fox in ATL just a couple years ago. Ben Vereen in that Broadway version sings about French King Charlemagne. Glory, 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 glory. Praise be to Charles our Lord. Triumphant is his sword. Allegiance is his word. Glory, 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 glory. I know you want to Google it and listen, but hang in there with me just a little longer. Blood, steel, power, war, and king. Shout it out from the highest tower. Shout it out in the darkest hour. Charlemagne leads in power. The gates of heaven await. Throw them wide open by Charles the Great. We follow by serving his state. Glory, glory, glory. Ben Vereen is much better. Glory. My American Heritage Dictionary. Some of you don't know what dictionaries are. They're big fat books. They're usually red. They keep them on the book. You look them up to see what words mean. It was given to me just after the Vietnam era in 1981. High school graduation gift. I looked up glory. Exalted is what it means. Honor. Praise. A distinction given by common consent. Renown, a praiseworthy asset. Splendor, prosperity, now we're talking. Bliss, the height of achievement. Glory. When we worship, we give common consent to the importance and the power and the glory of God. Glory. In the Old Testament, the word actually means something of weight. Or something of importance. Heaven itself gives God glory. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord, says Isaiah 6. The whole earth is full of God's glory, God's importance, God's power, God's weight, God's acclaim. In the New Testament, no surprise, glory is now given to God's expression in Jesus, the Christ. Glory be to Jesus the Christ. And the angels say to the shepherds, keeping watch of their flocks by night, glory in highest heaven. The Christ is born. Christ is glorified, John says, in his crucifixion and resurrection. And the world waits with blessed hope the coming glory of Christ as Savior. I love the title of our new church hymnal. It wasn't particularly creative, but it's awfully good. Glory to God. That's the song of the church. Not just 2,000 years ago, but even today. Because Christ continues to come. Sure, his first coming was in Bethlehem, and most of the world is fixed on that these days. Remembering that coming as a lowly, vulnerable infant long ago and far away. But remember, Christ comes here and now. When we break bread and share the cup, they broke bread and their eyes were opened and they recognized him. He was in their midst, where two or three are gathered in his name. Remember, he said, I will be with you always. Christ comes here and now. And Christ shall come. Mark 13 is what scholars call a little apocalypse. And in it, Jesus says he will come in the clouds with great power and glory. The one who comes with great power and glory makes all things new. I suspect, like me, when you enter the Christmas season, you right away start thinking of mangers and animals and wise men. You think of those things, I do. Maybe some presents. And you start thinking of trees, and you start thinking of the little baby Christ. But it's interesting, Advent opens with the big, final, full, complete coming of Christ at the end of all things, which as Scripture tells it is really a new beginning, because the risen, triumphant, all-glorious, all-powerful Christ makes all things new. God isn't done with us yet. When I look at that Advent candle of hope, I say, God isn't done with us yet. After the first service, somebody came up to me and said, yeah, but Ali, are you really that hopeful about the state of the world? I have good reason not to be. But Scripture says we wait with hope. God isn't done with us yet. And God will be faithful to the end. And Christ shall come with power and glory to bring to earth the heavenly kingdom. We are not alone. You and I struggle. We only know in part. We still struggle and we still sin. I was at the Act One play last week. They gave a free showing for staff. Sorry, staff has its benefits sometimes. We got free tickets. Members get a discount. In the original sanctuary, the theater troupe that put that together from one of our ministries, our drama ministry, staged sort of a silly production of Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol. And so it's the familiar telling with lots of humor. I won't say more, but invite you to it. One of the folks in that play is arguing with Ebenezer Scrooge. You know his part, the Grinch, whose heart is too small and it needs to expand. And he says, Ebenezer, you ought to let us enjoy Christmas, and you ought to enjoy Christmas, because Christmas is a time when men and women, by one consent, open their shut hearts freely. And they realize that other people are fellow passengers to the grave. I don't think I'd ever heard that expression before. We are fellow passengers to the grave. Therefore, how much more important, Ebenezer, to look with others with some kindness and some care and some love and some support and some comfort. Christ will come again in power, the church says in Advent, and in that final coming, even death itself will be vanquished. When the Bible pictures Christ coming in clouds, I think it's a symbolic way of saying just what the choir sang. I had that title in my mind a few minutes ago. Let me find it. Thou shalt know him when he comes. And not just two or three, and not just shepherds and wise men, but all the world. Because the coming in glory means none escape it. Well, that's good news and bad news, isn't it? None escape it. Just like the sun or the stars or the moon. Did you see the moon last night? And all the world says yes. When the Son of Man comes in full knowledge and in final victory, all shall see it. The kingdom shall come in full, that kingdom which only has partially begun, because sin and evil still triumph on earth. We pray, come, Lord Jesus, and vanquish sin and evil and death. We live in a world where things aren't perfect, are they? Where things have their troubles. The rich continue to get richer. Who speaks for the voiceless and the poor? Come, Lord Jesus, and set right that which is wrong. We continue to pollute the planet. Who speaks for the trees? Who will be the Lorax? Come, Lord Jesus, and right that which is wrong. Complete the work of saving which long ago you began. And have we not seen all too often in the news recently how famous and wealthy men abuse their power and their privilege for selfish gain, harming and hurting and abusing others? Come, Lord Jesus, lift the lowly, bring down the proud and the powerful. Opioid addiction, drug addiction continue to crush life in far too many communities and homes. Come, Lord Jesus, and mend and heal that which is broken. Come in power. I agree with Prime Minister Theresa May's assessment of American politics these days. She says, you all have lost the values of respect, tolerance, and dare I say, common decency that our nations used to share. Come, Lord Jesus, mend that which is broken. That candle burns, and that just reminds me that God isn't done with the world yet. Sure, we look back to Bethlehem and we're grateful for God among us, but we look forward to that which God promises, the kingdom of heaven come to earth, full and complete. You know how the Bible ends? The last chapter of the last book of the Bible ends with a prayer. Come, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.